Tonight we're going to look at the power of words. What's the matter, sweetheart?
I see all your stuff.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
You know why?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Is it there?
Almost.
Yeah.
There it is.
Okay, did good.
Okay. Like the monitor says, we're going to look at the power of words. And what I'm going to share with you tonight, if you get what I share with you tonight, you'll understand how a lot of problems come to you in life. Not only will you understand that, you will also understand how to avoid them. So, let's begin. We're going to look at faith, and we're going to look at fear tonight. We're going to look at both of those in the context of the power of words. And we want to know tonight, what I'm going to share is that I'm going to share, do words have power? I'm going to teach you where this power comes from. We're going to look at God's law of power. We're going to see how we can tap into this power, and we're going to see how we can release this power. And it all is because there is power in words. In the beginning scripture we're going to look at tonight is Proverbs chapter 18 in verse 21, where it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." That scripture tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the tongue has the ability to either promote death or promote life. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 3, we read, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." The Greek word rhema is translated word in the above verse in Hebrews 11:3. In the phrase word of God, that word is the Greek word rhema. The rhema in the word of God is used in several different ways, but the rhema particularly deals with the spoken word. In Mark chapter 11 and in verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered, and he said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Jesus Christ spoke to the tree. And when you speak, words come out of your mouth. And this is something that you need to begin to understand. Jesus spoke to trees. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the storms. He spoke to the water. He spoke to the dead. He spoke to demons. He wanted to accomplish something. Jesus Christ used words to accomplish that which he spoke. A little bit down further in verse 20, it says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." Verse 22. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Or the marginal reading in the King James Version says, "Have the faith of God." Verse 23. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Again, you see the instruction to speak. And then if you're going to speak, you're going to say words. Okay? In response to Peter's comment about the previous day where Jesus spoke to the fig tree, Jesus answered and he said to Peter, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. That's exactly the way the text reads. And that's why I left the King James marginal reading in there. To have the faith of God, or to have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. What Jesus was teaching them was if they have the faith of God, they can accomplish anything according to the Word of God. And if that means speaking to a mountain, then so be it. Because once you have the faith of God, that spiritual force, that spiritual power that can accomplish it, you can speak that way. Now back in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. This simply means God wasn't able to go to his cabinet and get a planet and bring it out and put it together. Things which are not were made of things which don't appear. So in order to see how God framed the world by the word, and we've already learned that that word there is the word rhema, by the spoken word, we want to go back and visit that act. And to visit that act, we go to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was what?
Light.
There was light. So you see, God was speaking words. The result of God speaking words was that there was light. Hebrews taught us that God framed the world by his word, or by his rhema, by his spoken word. It also informed us that this was through faith. God said, let there be light, and what happened? There was light. That's what happened. And this is the pattern I want to follow through. And what you have to understand is that there's only two sources of spiritual power. Only two. Those sources are the true God and the devil. The true God and the devil. They're the only two choices we have when we want to understand there's a manifestation of spiritual power. All spiritual power comes from one of these sources. All spiritual power. In rare cases, it may be a combination of both, where a man of God would walk for God and then got tripped up and walked for the devil and so forth and so on. But 95-98% of the time, it's single. It's either from the true God or it's from the devil. So we want to know if there's power in words. Does the word have power, the power of words? We saw that Jesus spoke words to a fig tree and it dried up from the roots. So evidently there was a manifestation of power going on there. So there is power in words. We saw that God spoke words and then the result was what? Light. Again, another demonstration of how there's power in words. Then we want to look at where did this power originate? And the answer to that is that there's only two spiritual powers in the world. All spiritual power comes from either God or from the devil. So we know that there's power in words, And we know that all spiritual power either comes from the true God or from Satan. Mark chapter 11 taught us that the faith of God can accomplish the impossible. Jesus said, have the faith of God. For I say unto you, if you speak unto this mountain, moving a mountain is an impossible thing. Now, whether it was a literal mountain or it was a figurative mountain indicating an obstacle in your life, a mountain in your life, the result is still the same. You want to get rid of the problem. This is what happened in the beginning. God spoke words filled with his faith to accomplish the desired result. In the case of Genesis, he said, light, let there be light, and there was what?
Light.
It was filled with his faith, the word he spoke out, and there was light. Jesus spoke in Mark 11, and the tree did what?
Withered.
Dried up from the roots, withered away. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word, that word in the Septuagint is the word rhema. So shall my spoken word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. See? So when God speaks, his word accomplishes that which he pleases. The only reason that is because it's filled with power. You understand? Words contain and transport God's faith to accomplish his will. God spoke. Hebrews says through faith. We understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God. The words that he spoke were containers filled with his faith. He spoke them out. And then the accomplished result of what he spoke in Genesis, it was what? Light. That's why I say words contain and transport God's faith to accomplish his will. Now, this is God's word. This is the way he does it. This is his method. This is his instructions. He spoke. You can see Jesus Christ doing the same thing. Jesus Christ spoke words filled with God's faith to the fig tree in that particular instance, and the manifestation of the desired result came to pass. On the positive side, Jesus said, when we have the faith of God, we too can speak words that carry God's faith to accomplish the desired result, even the impossible, because it's a manifestation of spiritual power. And that's a good thing to know. And this you can understand. But what you may not understand is that this is one of God's laws. It's one of God's laws. And like many of God's laws, they can work against you or they can work for you. So far what we've seen is that the word has power. We saw that Jesus speaking to a fig tree, words, and it dried up. We saw that God spoke words, and there was a manifestation of what? Light. We saw where this power originated from. That all power, spiritual power, comes either from God or it comes from the devil. And then we see God's law of power. God's law of power. And within God's law of power, words contain spiritual power. The words that God spoke in the beginning where he said, let there be light. And the words that Jesus Christ spoke to the fig tree where he said, wither up. Now let's go a step further. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? The word of God. Here, once again, the word rhema is translated by the English word in the phrase word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. It's not just the word of God, it's the spoken word of God. And you see, faith cometh by hearing. In order to hear something, right, somebody's got to what?
Speak
it or preach it, right? Okay. So you don't even have to know any Greek to see it in the verse. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the spoken word of God. So in one verse, we can see how faith comes. It comes from hearing the spoken word of God. That's how faith comes. And that's good news, because it tells you that you can get faith. It comes to you. It doesn't say that you manufacture it. It says it comes to you. It comes to you. What this verse is saying is when you hear God's word, which is filled with God's faith, and you believe and conceive it in your heart, a spiritual force called faith is the result. That's what this word is saying. That's what this verse is saying. Listen to it again. When you hear God's word, which is filled with God's faith, and you believe it and conceive it in your heart, a spiritual force called faith is the result. When we hear words filled with God's faith, they are filled with God's power. This is why Proverbs 18:21 teaches that there's power in the tongue. You can have the power of God in your mouth, in your tongue, and when you speak it out, you release it on words. See, that's one way there's power in the tongue. You see that bucket? You see that liquid in there? I got the word faith in there. Okay? God's word is full of faith. God's word is full of faith. If there was no faith in that bucket, representing God's word, you couldn't get any faith out of that bucket. If the bucket was empty and you went to the bucket with a scoop and you scooped it out, what would you come up with? Nothing. See? Romans says that faith coming by hearing, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You understand? Hearing by the word of God. If the word of God had no faith in it, it could not produce faith when you heard it. In order to transmit faith, in order to give faith, it has to be full of faith. You understand? If the God's word has no faith, it can't give. You can't get no faith by hearing it. Now, if that's true, and God's word is full of faith, and you can get faith out of God's word by hearing it, and then believing and conceiving it in your heart, then the word of God is full of faith from Genesis to Revelation. See? From Genesis to Revelation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. The reason I put that verse up there is because this verse teaches us how we can tap in to this power. The how of tapping into the power is to believe in your heart, in the innermost part of your spirit being. Not in this heart that pumps the blood. That's got nothing to do with it. In this heart, where the innermost part of your spirit being is, where the real you is. You understand where you say, I love you from. It doesn't say believe in your head. And this is very important. It says you got to believe it in your heart. Believe in thine heart. That's where believing works. It works in the heart. Once we hear the word of God, if it doesn't get any further than our brain, it'll do you no good. And this is where people are stuck. Lots and lots and lots of people are just stuck. They hear the word up here. They know the word up here. But that's not good enough. That's a start. That's necessary. That's a step. But that's only a step. And if you don't move on to the next step, it does you no good. You may hear the words of God's word. You may even be able to repeat the words of God's word. But until it is planted and conceived in your heart, you'll miss the message of God's word. And without the message, the words do you no good. There's no spiritual connection. There's no understanding. Now, faith comes through hearing words. Again, Romans 10:17 says what? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It comes through hearing the word of God. That's how faith comes. Now remember, I taught you about God's laws and how they can either work for you or they could work against you. And I also taught you that the power of words, okay, is a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. When we speak God's word, we release a spiritual power called faith. However, the same power works in reverse. So then fear cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of Satan. And that's what you got to get tonight. As faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, fear comes the same way. Because the devil counterfeits the word of God. He uses the principles of the word of God and he uses the laws of the word of God and turns them against us. The laws of God can either work for us or they can work against us. When the devil gets involved in it, he turns it around and he makes them work against us. Since faith comes from hearing God's word and can be released by the words we speak, fear, which is faith in the devil, comes the same way and is released by the same principle. Now, this is very important. What I'm telling you is that when you hear the words of the devil, you are being filled with seeds of fear. Seeds of fear. Once these seeds are believed and conceived in your heart, a spiritual force called fear results. So, is it important to guard your mind and guard your ears and guard your eyes and everything else? Because according to the Bible, Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, right? And this is how the devil is able to fill people with fear. He fills people with fear through the media of his world. That's how he does it. Because fear cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of the devil. This is why I warn people to stay away from attending the church of Satan that's presented to us 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year. And it's presented to us through different ways. Number one, the TV, the radio, newspapers, the computer, movies. Here's a big one. Pay attention. Politics. You see the slop they talk about politics every day. Every one of those posts, every one of those articles, every one of those things that are said are negative. They are there to breed fear into you. They are there to breed hatred into you. You know what it is? They're seeds from the devil, and they hit your brain. And sooner or later, you get enough of this junk, they drop down into your heart, where they start to take root and they start to grow. And that's what ruins people. All TV is not bad. All radio is not bad. All newspapers are not bad. Okay? So I'm not telling you to throw everything away. What I'm telling you is that you're being attacked and you don't even know you're being attacked. What I'm telling you is that seeds are being planted and you don't even know they're being planted through this media, through these ways. That's why if you want to watch something, make sure it's something that's going to bless you. If you're going to listen to the radio, make sure something's going to bless you. But even the radio goes to a stupid commercial and sows the seeds of fear in you. That's the devil's word. If you don't do this, you're going to catch that. Or if you don't do this, you're going to get that. Or such and such, or such and such. It's constantly bombarding you. Here's another way that the devil spreads his word. Through who I call miserable comforters. A miserable comforter is someone you call up and they'd say, well, I had that disease and I never got rid of it. Or my uncle had that disease and everybody that has that disease dies. They're not going to give you words that are going to encourage you. They're not going to give you words that are going to bless you, that are going to edify you. And these words that they're speaking are words of negative, are words of fear, are words of doubt. Fear cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the devil. And what people don't understand is that when they speak like that, they're speaking and transporting the devil's fear on those words into the lives of the people that hear them, sowing seeds of doubt. Now let me take you a step further. Let me teach you about seeds. Genesis 1:11 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. I took the liberty of putting those words in red. It says yielding fruit after his kind. Whose, and again in red, seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. What this is the law of seeds, the law of planting and the law of harvest tied up here in this verse. And what you learn is that the seed yields fruit after his kind. And another thing that you learn is that the seed, it has life in itself, whose seed is in itself. You understand? That life is in that seed. The seed is in itself. Now, if the words you speak, or the words you hear, the words that you hear, yield fruit after his kind. And if they're words from the devil, or negative words, what kind of fruit is that seed that's being planted in your heart going to yield? Bad fruit, bad crop. And another important thing is that the seed is in itself. Look. Mark 4, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up, should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. So the guy throws a seed in the ground and goes about his business. He gets up, he goes to bed, he goes about his daily life. And while he casts his seed into the ground, and goes about his daily life, and remarkable things happening. Because the seed has, it's in itself. You understand? The seed starts to what? It doesn't need the man's help. Because the life is in the seed. And if you put a seed in the ground, the law of the seed says it's going to what? It's going to grow. It's going to grow irrespective of what the man does or doesn't do. Okay, now think about that with seeds being planted in your heart by words that carry those seeds from the adversary. It's going to grow, it's going to produce after its own kind, whether you like it or whether you don't. Once a seed is planted, it'll grow by itself. And it will yield fruit after its kind. You understand? God's law concerning seeds works irrespective of good seeds or bad seeds. It's still God's law concerning seeds, that it's got seed of itself and that it will yield fruit after its kind. So if you plant an apple tree, you're going to get what? If you plant bananas, you're going to get... If you plant fear, you're going to get what? If you plant doubt, you're going to get what? It's a law. It's a law, and this is what we don't understand. And then when we turn around and we repeat those things, whether it's in politics or whether it's in warning or whether it's in you better watch out, you know what we're doing? We're just sowing the seeds of the devil through our words. That's what we're doing. Don't listen to the church of Satan presented to you through the media of the world. You can't do it, because that's all they're going to tell you. They're going to promote his word. And fear cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Satan. You can't help but to be filled with fear if you continue to listen to his clergy from Hollywood or on every night at the 6 p.m. news. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. This is going to happen. Hollywood, they're out of their freaking minds, those people. They're actors. You know what an actor does? He lies. He acts. And they get up and they start to speak like they know the truth. They don't know anything. This is why Proverbs teaches us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our heart is where the seed has to go to be conceived. And once it goes there and it's planted there, it'll start growing. The word keep means to guard. To guard. And that's how you guard. You don't let nothing near you. That's why you have to guard your mind. Because in order for the adversary to get to your heart, he's got to go through your head. He's got to go through your senses. That's how he got to Eve. He went through her senses. Even things intended for good, like Facebook, will carry other people's shared posts. So you want to go on there and you want to see your grandchildren, or if you want to see where people are vacationing with, nice things that will bless you, right? Even those things, the adversary is able to attach things to, and then you look over here and you see this stupid post that is what? Bam, it's in your face. And it's constant. It's constant. All the time. Many times, those posts contain the devil's words, thus presenting the opportunity for the seeds of his faith or fear to be planted in the soil of your heart. The soil of your heart. Look at it. Matthew 13:19a. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand that if not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his what?
Heart.
When anyone, what? Heareth the word of the kingdom. You understand? So again, you're hearing the word. You're hearing the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. So when you hear it, says, then comes the wicked one and catches that away which was sown in his where? Where was that word sown? In the heart of a person. You understand? The heart of a person is the soil for the seed to be sown. And the seed is the word of God. The sower soweth the word. That's what it said, right? What does a sower do? He sows what? Seeds. The seed is the word of God. He speaks it out, you hear it, you consider it, you bring it down to your heart because you want to believe it. It can be conceived there and the result can follow. And the adversary doesn't come and take it out of your mind. He doesn't care what you know. You understand? He doesn't care how many Bible verses you can quote. He doesn't care how fancy you can talk. He cares about what's in your heart. Because when you believe in your heart, that's when you manifest God's abundance and God's power. This is where God's word is sown. It's sown in the soil of your heart. problem with that is that the devil also sows his word there. He sows his word there. Yeah, that's where it got. In your, not this heart, down here. He sows his word there. He sows it, you hear it, you hear it, you hear it, and then after a while, you know what you start to do? You start to consider it. You start to consider that this storm is going to come up here and ruin everything for the next 3 days. And then you know what you do? You start to speak that slop out of your mouth. And you say, oh, we're going to die. And so what are you doing? You know what you're doing? You're just speaking the words of the adversary. Carrying, and those words are contained with that doubt and that fear. And everybody who hears it, listens to it, starts to believe it, sinks down in their heart. You know why I know that? Because the Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Eventually, what is in your heart will show up on your lips. And that's how rumors get spread. That's how people's lives get trashed. That's how the adversary fills the world with fear. Because we think we're doing something good. Okay, I don't know how many times I've said over the past week, this thing's going to blow out to sea. When it comes to me. Because we're having a picnic. But people don't say that. And they don't mean it, but they don't understand what they're doing. Because all they're doing is mouthing what the adversary wants. And I'm not asking you to be dumb. I'm just asking you to consider. There's another alternative. We have been taught to have so much faith in what the devil says. And what the media says. And what the newspapers say. And what the weather says. That we just mouth it blindly anymore. Like there's no other alternative. Like there's no other option. Like our God can't do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think or ask. We just take God right out of the picture. And you know why that is? Is because we've been bombarded with the negatives of the devil through the media of the world and all the other social medias for so long that all this junk is starting to seep down into here and we're starting to believe it. We're starting to believe it. We hear the word cancer, and immediately our minds go, instead of going to the Word of God. We hear the sickness. Immediately our minds go, why is that? I'll tell you why that is. It's because you've been trained, you've been schooled, and you've been compromised by the devil for the last X amount of years of your life, and you don't even know it. Those seeds have been planted, and he will empower those things. And once they're empowered, they'll conceive and grow, and you will manifest. Because you will manifest the seed. Because the seed will yield fruit of itself. If it's a good seed, that's fine. But if it's a bad seed, you're going to get bad fruit. Good-hearted, sincere people unintentionally spread these seeds of bad news to anyone who will listen. How many times you get a phone call? How many times you go to the lunchroom? How many times you go to the wherever donut shop and you hear people say, oh, this is that. And that's all it is. That's all they do. They talk about this. Talk. They don't understand that words are containers and transporters of power. It can either be good power or it could be bad power. They don't understand that when they speak that, that they're fear cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the devil. They don't understand that they're speaking words of fear. And people hear it, and hear it, and hear it. And a lot of those people don't have the ability and don't have the teaching to be able to resist the devil. Don't understand that you got to guard your mind. Don't understand that you got to weed these things out and say, no, I refuse that. I cancel that in the name of Jesus Christ. That's not going to happen. This is going to happen. A lot of those people take it for face value. And then you know what happens to those people? They get a miserable life. Because as soon as something this small happens in their life, they make it out to be this big. Why do they do that? Why do you think they do that? They were schooled to do that. They've been trained to do that. They've been fed a diet of fear, of doubt, of worry all of their life. And those seeds have grown. They've settled in the heart, the soil of their heart. And now that seed is yielding after its own kind and is springing up. Why? Because of the adversary, because he's the god of this world, because he runs the kingdom of this world, he runs the media of this world, and people listen to stuff and listen to it and listen to it, and they don't understand what's going on. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. And then when they speak, they inadvertently spread these seeds of fear. They not only hurt others, but they hurt themselves by speaking words filled with doubt, fear, criticism, bitterness, slander, anger, sickness. You name it, he'll say it. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no what? Guile." You hurt yourself. That's what that verse says. You love life? You want to see good days? Keep that junk off your tongue. Don't speak those things. See? This is why Smith Wigglesworth never allowed the newspaper in his home. I remember reading about that man one day, and another minister came to visit him. And there was a bunch of newspapers outside in the bushes. And the minister thought he was doing him a favor, so he picked it up and he walked in. He says, "Get that devil thing out of my house right now." He won't allow it in his house. See? But some people can't live without watching the nightly news. Some people can't live without finding out what's going on with our president. Some people can't live without reading his tweets or somebody else's tweets. No president in history has been criticized and talked more about than President Trump. No president in history. And nothing is said good about that man 95% of the time. Nothing. You know what it is? It's the adversary. Speaking words of bitterness, speaking words of hatred. He's using the media. And then you know what you do? Even if you're a Republican and you like the guy, you turn around and you speak the same thing because you're going to defend him. But you know what? You're just speaking the words of the adversary. Don't do it, because the adversary, he's just using you. He's using you to hurt yourself. It's going to rob you of life. Did you ever see a person and you just get around a person? Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks, right? You don't have to hang around a person too long to know what's inside of their heart. Do you ever talk to a person and they got nothing positive to say? You ever talk to a person and you think they're Eeyore? Oh, nothing good can come of this. This is a bad day. The sun shines out. Oh, no, I'm sure that's a rain cloud over there. I know people like that. You can't get nothing good out of them. Do you know why that is? It's because they had been inundated with the seeds of fear and doubt and worry all of their life through various ways, like I taught you, the media, through people. Okay? It hit their mind, hit their mind, hit their mind, went down here, and you want to know something? The seed is in itself. There's a seed. Do you have to do anything? Do you have to consider? Do you have to do anything once that seed gets planted in the soil of your heart? What's the nature of the seed?
To grow.
It's going to grow. And it's going to yield its own fruit, right? So that's what they do. And that's what they do. And they got a garden, a forest, a rainforest of doubt growing in their heart, of worry growing in their heart, of negative growing in their heart. And you say something to them, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They can't help but say a negative response because they have nothing else inside of them to say. And have you ever sat and thought about that and say, well, why is that person like that? I'm telling you why they're like that. Now you know. Because fear cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of the devil. Doubt cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of the devil. So on and so forth. He takes the laws of God that are set, and he twists the laws, and he uses the laws of God against God's people. That's the truth. So, do words have power? Yeah, they do. We saw where Jesus manifested power by speaking words. We saw where God manifested power by speaking words. Where does this power originate? All spiritual power either comes from God or the devil. That's the answer. Not let anybody tell you anything different. They're lying. In isolated cases, I taught you that perhaps it's a combination, but it's still either from God or the devil. If it's spiritual power, there's only two sources of spiritual power. And we looked at God's law of power. We saw that words contain spiritual power. But within that law, those words work for saint or sinner alike. They can contain God's faith and accomplish the word which he set it out to do, or they can contain the devil's faith, which is called fear, and it'll accomplish that which he sets out to do. Isaiah, where it says, so shall my word be, it shall accomplish that one. You could take that verse and use it of Satan too. So shall my word be. Why? Because it's a spiritual law. Because words are containers. Containers and or transmitters. They transport. They can transport either God's word, God's love, or they can transport the adversary's word, the adversary's hate. How do we tap into this power? We receive the word of God in our hearts and we believe. That's how we can tap into the power of God. Sad to say, it's how you tap into the power of Satan too. Now my final question is, how do we release this power? Once we receive it by hearing the word of God, it's planted in our hearts, we believe, it starts to grow, a spiritual force called faith develops. How do we release this power? We speak it. How did God release this power? He spoke. How did Jesus release the power? He what? And what you got to understand is that this is God's method of releasing your faith. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we what?
Preach.
We preach. We speak. If you don't like something, you need to talk to it. Jesus talked to the tree. He talked to the wind. He talked to the waters. You understand? If you don't like something, just don't pray about it. Silently. You need to release your faith through the words you speak. Words are containers and vehicles of faith. Speak to it. Speak to it. If you don't like the way your arm looks or the way your arm feels, speak to your arm. Jesus spoke to a fig tree. Okay? You can speak to your arm. What if I told you go speak to your tree? You think I'm nuts. That sounds silly, doesn't it? Jesus spoke to the tree. See, and so you have to be willing to listen and to do these things, because you know what tells you that sounds silly, that talent sounds nuts? What? What tells you that? The faith, the fear that you've been receiving from the adversary. That's what's telling you that that sounds silly, that sounds nuts. That's what's telling you don't talk to the water, don't talk to the cloud, don't talk to the storm. That's silly, that's nuts. We got Doppler radar. They're words. They come to your ears. And after you hear them and hear them and hear them and hear them and hear them, you know what you start to do? You start to believe them. You know, they say that if a lie is told enough times and a man hears it enough times, that he something goes on inside of him that he actually starts to accept it as truth. Okay? This is what the adversary does. This is how he works. Jesus said in Matthew 8:8b, or the centurion said to Jesus, speak the word only, and my servant shall be what? Why? Because words release spiritual power. Words contain spiritual power. And I can tell you personally, from experience, not just from reading the Bible, but from experience, when I speak to a situation, it obeys me. Not for who I am, but for what those words carry and the sacrifice that was paid in order to make those words and those power available. That's the way it works. I've never sat in front of someone and just said, went like this or prayed. If you're going to fix someone, if you're going to help someone, you got to speak to the problem. Speak to the problem. And it's a simple thing, because if you have the faith of God, it's very simple. Why? Because if you have faith, the grain of a what? You could say unto this what? Mountain. Or say unto this tree what? So you don't need a lot. What do you need? If faith, the size of the grain of a mustard seed, which is about like that, is enough to move a tree or move a mountain, do you need a lot of faith? No, it's just got to be the right kind of faith. If it's the faith of God, you don't need a lot. Do you understand? Don't need a lot. If you have it, you have it. That's why when you have the faith of God and you're ministering in that capacity, it's very simple, very easy. It's not a hard thing to do, because all you need is this much, just that much, and it gets the job done. But you know, if you don't speak, you're not going to get the job done. That's where people miss it. They pray about things, they pray around things, but they don't speak to the mountain. Jesus said, speak unto the mountain. Speak unto the tree. Speak unto the what? Guess who doesn't want you speaking? Because if you speak and you understand what I'm teaching you, then your words can be filled with God's power. And those words will accomplish things. But if you never say it, if you never address it, how much are you going to accomplish? Nothing. Do you see why the adversary is fighting so hard to silence the Christians across the country and across the world? Think about it. He's trying to get laws passed. He's trying to intimidate. He's trying to do everything he can to make you keep your mouth shut. Because he knows that if you open your mouth and you got faith down here, it's going to come out. And faith the size of a mustard seed is going to do what? Going to knock his kingdom right the heck. You understand? He just doesn't want you to shut up for no good reason. This is why. Because as long as you talk, you're destroying him. Psalm 141, verse 3 says, Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. You know what that means? In our vernacular, watch what you say. Think about what you say. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say things you shouldn't say. And you know what? Don't repeat things you shouldn't repeat. Don't do it. You're going to repeat things about the storm. You're going to repeat things about the political party. You're going to repeat. That's all you're doing. All you're doing is you're doing the work of the adversary. You're just sowing the seeds of the enemy so you can breed more hate, more bitterness, more fear. Don't do it. He's using you. Does anybody here like to be used and manipulated? I don't. Well, that's what he's doing. And after hearing this, if you allow him to continue to do it, then shame on you. See, I can understand that you didn't understand what was going on. But now you have no excuse. I've taught you very simply and showed you that what's going on. Not even a fool can err. Ephesians 4:29, let how much corrupt speech?
No.
Communicate. One or two.
No.
When I'm with the guys.
No.
When I'm alone.
No.
When I'm with my buddies. When I'm at the... No.
No.
And see, that's a goal to work towards. Because when you speak words, the tongue has the power of life and death. That's what it says. Life or death. Life and death. Life and death. When you speak words, you are speaking words that either are going to promote life or you're speaking words that are going to promote death. It's that simple. That's what it says. It has the power to do that. So we just don't think about what we say. And not only don't we think about what we say, we don't think about what we repeat and how we're being programmed and brainwashed by the adversary so he can plant these seeds in our lives. And then when you ever watch, they had a game. You put these things on and then you put so many on, it breaks the camel's back. What was that game called? You load things on and then after you load it on, well, anyway, that's what the adversary does. I don't know. He keeps loading things on you. Loading things on you. All from all different ways. Some of this junk gets down into your heart, it filters through, and it starts to grow because it seeds in itself, and it's going to produce after its own kind. And then one day, he comes along, and he takes the last straw that's going to break the camel's back, and he puts it on you. And you know why he's able to do that? Because he has spent years and years and years in preparation to get you to your breaking point. So let me give you an example. He's taught you about a disease for years and years and years. He's taught you through the radio. He's taught you through conversations you've been in. You've just went here and you started to hear about this disease. You never even knew about this disease. And then you heard it. And then you hear it over here. And you say, oh, I just heard about that over here. And then somebody else is saying. Then you see a commercial. Then you hear a radio. Then you read a magazine. So, oh, there's that word. There's... And he prepares you. And he prepares you because he's tilling the soil of your heart. You understand? And he gets you like this. And he gets you like this. And he gets you like this. And then he drops just the final one. Now you already know everything that you don't want to know and you shouldn't know about this disease. And as soon as you hear that word come out of the doctor's mouth, okay, you know what happens in your heart? In your heart, all of that stuff comes together. All that stuff comes together. That's why when I talk to doctors, I stop them. Now, thank you. You have it, not me. Goodbye. I won't do it. I don't go there. When I talk to people, a lot of times they start to tell me this. They start, stop. I don't want to know. The less I know, the better. I speak to the disease, minister to them in the name of Jesus Christ, and leave. I'm better off that way. Why is that? Because I don't want to know. Because all they're going to be is a miserable comforter. They're going to tell me everything they know, sense, knowledge about why they have this disease and why they haven't been healed and why they can't be healed and why I should have pity for them. You can get pity anywhere. We're talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Either he was a complete sacrifice or he wasn't. You think God's going to send another sacrifice? He's not. You're going to have to get it out of what he did already in Jesus Christ, out of that sacrifice. He's not sending another one. You know why he's not sending another one? Because what Jesus did was perfect and complete. That's why he's not sending another one. And that's the way it works, people. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what?
Grace
unto the hearers. Grace unto the hearers. You need to guard yourselves against negative crap. And you know what? We got a lot of negative stuff going on amongst our families and amongst our friends. And you know what you need to do? You need to either confront it or you need to get away from it. Because if you don't, if those seeds get planted, don't worry about it. You can be as strong as you want. Be as strong as you want. You know what that seed's going to do? It's going to grow anyway. It's going to grow anyway because the seed is in itself. And when it produces, it's going to produce and yield after its own kind. So if you think you're strong and you can handle all these things, you just go right ahead and try it. But you're fighting against the laws of God. And you can't do it. You're always a loser when you fight against the laws of God. So be careful. And stuff that you have and you shouldn't, go to God. Get forgiveness. Ask him to cleanse you. Ask him to help you out. Ask him to set a watch over your mouth so you don't inadvertently talk the things that the adversary wants you to speak, sowing his seeds of doubt, worry, and fear, and hate throughout. Speak things that are good. And if you're not convinced or you're not sure, keep your mouth shut. Just don't say anything. It's the hardest thing in the world for a person to learn how to keep their mouth shut. But I would tell you something. You can't be a successful minister unless you learn how to keep your mouth shut. Just let people talk. But don't be a fool, because a fool is known by the multitude of the words he speaks. That's what the Bible says, right? If you're not sure, keep your mouth shut or say, I don't know. Or I'll pray for that. Or I'll pray for you, whatever. Don't hop on the board. Don't hop on the bandwagon. Don't be a miserable comforter. Don't be someone who's going to gossip. And you know what? You know why that's so hard in our world? Because we've been bombarded by the adversary and trained to be that way. That's why it's so hard. Every single day of our lives, through the news, through the radio, that's why. We have been trained. We have been brought up. This is the way it's done. This is the way this. This is the way that. Look at the news. The journalist in the news on the 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever clock newspaper and whatever news they are, got 15 nipping at their heels waiting to take their job. Got 15 waiting in line, younger journalists, younger newsmen and women, just looking to find a fault in them so they can exploit it, get rid of them, and then step into the limelight. How would you like to have a job like that? Everybody looking at you to make a mistake. 15 others waiting to take your place. Be head nurse. Oh, she's late here. Did she give the right pill? Did she follow the protocol? How would you like to live like that? That's how those guys live. That's no kind of life. Is it any wonder that they have to lie, that they had to keep you in fear to keep people captivated so they can keep their number one spots? They're just using you too, manipulating you. That's the way the adversary works. Okay? So, let's put a watch over our mouths. Let's keep the doors of our lips. And let's endeavor not to speak corrupt communication. But we want to speak things that want to bless people and help people. And that's where it was. Okay? Lord, thanks for your word. Thank you that we understand a little bit better now how both faith and fear comes. And thank you, Father, that we are spread when we speak words of faith, words of love, words of kindness, and not do the adversary's work for him. Thank you, Father, for each person that hears this teaching as it goes out around the country, Father, and that you would bless them and that they could get a handle of what I'm teaching here so it can bless their lives. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.